several rams, but three of the rams we've been talking about are three kind of consciousnesses. And one is mutable, which is a changing consciousness. And one is the duality, where we make some spiritual ascension and still dealing with the ego on one side. And the other is cardinal consciousness. And in the instruction this morning, I could hear the upper two, anyway, of growth. And I was listening to Johnny instruct John Morgan, and I was just stricken with the realism of how he was teaching him. Just plod along every day, son. Work every day, son. Just do this every day, son. Don't get up in the morning and give up. Just put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Mm-hmm. Just keep plowing your furrow, because you can do this.
Amen.
We live in an awesome time. I feel like the I Am is more being revealed than ever. So it's wonderful. I don't know how long I'll teach this morning. I kind of feel to teach a little bit, and then we may just talk, because I love for this group to be here, because the young ones are here. We can get Michael to share and Morgan to share, maybe Rachel and John Moore, even Emily share, because this is our heritage. This is what's behind us. So it's important that there be a great awakening in you as well as us, because we're going to move on eventually. Anyway, I'm not sure I want to read this yet. I know within us there are three realms. Some of us go by the natural sun, natural things that happen to us, and forget about our the next part of us, which is our soul. And the scripture tells us that as soon as Adam breathed, the first man Adam breathed, he did like that and said, I'm feminine. He was a feminine part of God. He became soul. Doesn't say he became spirit, although he was covered by spirit. But he knew his soul, and soul is unique to each of us. Every soul is so different. So different. You're uniquely your own feminine person. So you can do with that whatever you wish. I mean, that is all the power of choice that God gives us. Your soul can make a choice to become a quickening spirit. But the first Adam did not do that. He said, hey, I like this shapely thing. This divine, soft feminine. And I'm going to give completely into soul life. So he did. And that's good, except there is a higher soul life. And that's that quickening, the soul that's quickened by spirit. So we should follow that high thing. Anyway, I love the scripture where God says, Adam, where are you? That makes you think God didn't know where Adam was. Of course he knew where Adam was, but he wanted Adam to know where he was. There's that voice in all of us that say, hey, it says, what are you doing? Where are you now? What's going on? Get a hold of yourself. I love that voice. I'm walking along at a clip, and I think I'm doing good, and something taps me on the shoulder. Says, you know, you could do it this way. Hello. Good. I mean, you can turn the rig around. It does take a while sometime, but you can turn your rig around. Things that are facing you and how you look at it, how you view it. Anyway, he says, all right, Adam, where are you? And how did you get to this place where you are in your life? How did you get here? And Adam doesn't show a lot of responsibility at that point. He runs and hides behind a tree. Now, we all got trees that we hide behind, you know. I just don't want mine to be... I want him to be able to find me and slap me naked and hide my clothes. So I have to hunt him. And he's good at doing that.
Yeah, I think Adam was naked behind the tree.
I think he was kind of naked. So what I'm getting into, I hope, is relationships. But how can you have a relationship with something outside of you if you don't know yourself? That's what we're saying about this morning. My mission field is Connie's heart. That's my mission field. That's where I'm going. Not your heart, my heart. I want to know her. I want to know all the realms that I haven't been aware of or embraced. Many realms. You think there's just what you call a heaven and a hell and an earth. Give me a break. There's all kinds of realms that you could speak of right here and now. Art realms, reading realms. I mean, Suze goes into places in readings that probably scare the H out of me. And John's work, my husband playing baseball, speed fishing. These are realms that people embrace of earth joy. I watch a movie over and over. I bet I watched Out of Africa 100 times, and I'll watch it 100 times more because it ministers to me. It makes me feel good about me. So those things that make you feel good inside, embrace those things. I've heard him say over and over, baseball saved me. He said, I love baseball. I lived, breathed, played baseball, thought about baseball, and I played baseball. Because he didn't have a mother to baby him. He threw himself into something else. We have to do that sometime. Throw ourselves into something. Set a goal. Say, Father, show me a goal. What is this goal? Well, our goal here, he's shown us a long time ago, was to come together and get to know who we were. Until we know who we are, we cannot help other people. Unless I really know who I am in an area, I cannot help you at all. I need to just keep my hands off. But I've had that. If I've had an experience, been there and done that, then I have some empathy and something to put my feet on. So relationships, where it's at. Know yourself. Know how awesomely, how fearfully and wonderfully you are framed. You're much more than you can see. we have a light body. Of course we do. Children, did you know you were sometimes darkness? But you're not darkness anymore. That the light should overtake you, you're children of light, not children of darkness. Proclaim that. I'm a child of light. And light is an ever-expanding, growing, emanating thing. And it touches every realm you come in contact with. It's awesome. I love this scripture in John. It's 3 John, verse 2. He says, "Beloved, don't you love the way he approaches people? If we could approach each person we meet with a respect, just a respect, let them see it in your eyes, that respect, and submissiveness to that, a little submissiveness, they'll see that humility. If it's like Francis said, the lamb in the house, they'll see that lamb. When you get ready to be a ram, God will let you know. But first, be the lamb. Anyway, he says, "Beloved," because I think this John, they say he was the natural brother of Jesus. I don't know, and I don't even care. That's not important to me. But what he wrote is important to me, and how he placed it. "Beloved," because he recognized presence bread. I started off with this outer court out here, this physical thing we walk around in, lives by the natural sun, which we hadn't seen much of in East Tennessee this winter. But we go by what happens outside of our holy place. And that begins to control us. But when we step into the holy place, there's no natural light. There's only light by the Spirit that is holy. I'm talking Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about that negative thing that wants to live in you where the Holy Spirit is. And then you have one more place to go, and that is the presence bread, or the presence of the Lord walking into your holiest place of all. We all have that. Mm-hmm. We all have it. And we can get there. Now, I don't believe you can just jump into that place or presumptuously step into that river. I think you have to be walk carefully, quietening your mind and all of those things. And sometimes I don't quite make it to the river, but I get close. I can smell the water. But sometimes I do make it to the river. Do you hear me? And I know how to float my boat. It won't sink, because I know the unsinkable Molly Brown. And his name is Jesus. Anyway, so John recognizes presence bread. This is presence bread. What you are to me is presence bread. You're here in my presence, so you are presence bread. Something that I can partake of. Something that I can eat of. Something that I'm a part of in my everyday life. That's awesome. And that's a way of honoring you. So yes, John knew what the beloved was, probably to the deepest level. He says, "I wish above everything." Now all this teaching's gone on. We have the Old Testament, we have the New Testament, and now we have what the Gnostics say, and I love it. It's much clearer. It's much better, and it's going to get clearer than that.
Amen.
He says, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. And I started looking this up again, done this many times. It means to move forward, to advance effectively. In my advancing, am I growing in my soul? I wish that you may prosper and be in health. But, and he puts a little thing there that we really need to put in our pipe and smoke. Even as your soul prospereth. So, folks, do I believe in soul growth? Absolutely, I believe in soul growth. Do you want to grow in this life? Think about her. This beautiful thing inside of you that you've been given. Mind, emotion, will, desires. All of them. God wants you to embrace your own through Him. If you miss it, that's okay. Everybody's got holes in their soul somewhere. It just happens. Anyway, the word advance here, or health, means in every instance but this one, it goes back to the Hebrew word shalom, peace. How do you find your peace? How do you find your peace? I don't do well if I don't have peace. So I'm going to search if I don't have peace. I'm going, okay, which cog is loose here? Help me examine this thing and find the peace. Let's read Psalms 23.
You said, how do you find your peace? And it's funny, as soon as you said that, I think about when Mark took me to Cape Kiwanda, he said something about his happy place. It's a... the only way I know to explain it is it's like this big sand mountain, and it overlooks nothing but the ocean.
Wow.
And of course, when he went up there, I don't know if everybody's seen the Titanic. You know how the girl stands at the end of the boat and she spreads her arms? That's what he did. And he was like, this is my happy place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where he gets his peace. And
awesome.
I mean, everybody has their own way of finding peace.
Really? So, really? It can be a place. It can be a place.
A place, a thing.
Yes, absolutely. That's precious. He's a good Mormon. David says here, the Lord is. Is shows action and state of being. You want a lesson on verbs? I'll teach you what I know, and then we'll cut Suzanne or Francis or Karen loose. I can start teaching you on it, because I don't know a whole lot, but I know that it shows action and state of being. The Lord is my shepherd.
Yes.
He's always my shepherd. I don't have to look anywhere else. He is shepherding me. We don't need a Catholic priest to make penance for us. My goodness, folks. Remember when Gary taught us so beautifully out of first person? I don't know if I've ever seen anybody do that before. He taught out of first person. He said, I did not require sacrifice, but you did. I thought, man, how awesome that is. How beautiful that is. We had to have something outward. A sacrifice. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Great. Beautiful. Green. I mean, East Tennessee is such a beautiful place to me. I can look out my front window and I think, my Lord, especially this morning with the rain, it was so green and beautiful. If you ever go west, you'll appreciate Tennessee. I promise you. He leadeth me beside peaceful, still, restful waters. Sometimes in our seeking, we don't always get that huge revelation that comes. Can we just rest? It will come when he's ready. Maybe you don't need that today. Maybe you don't need that today. But it will come in God's time. Just rest in the peace. He restoreth my soul. Well, why would he restore our soul? Because we need the soul restored. Adam had a ball with it. He said, I'm going to live slow life. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. And y'all know where that gets us. But I'm glad he did. I'm glad he missed the mark. Because it was a teacher for us. Everything in this is a teacher for us. And every day is a lesson. Every day is an opportunity to just embrace. Just if we could stop and appreciate our moments, what we face. Well, I'll tell on me first. This week, we had a full moon in Scorpio. Oh, my God. I'm not looking forward to that ever again. But and not only was it a full moon, but it had a huge foggy ring around it, which causes it to be, look, 44 times bigger. And I stepped outside and saw it as Johnny came in from work and noted it and thought I better see where the moon phase is. Well, I did. Well, the next morning, Scorpio broke loose all day long. I felt like Job, you know. Hey, Job, your kids are dead, all of them. Job, your jackasses are dead. Job, your sheep are dead. And everything's dead. I'm going, okay, what is all of this about? John says, just flip a switch. And I was hunting John. You got to flip the switch. I can't flip it. I can't get it flipped. But if you give me the 40 acres I need, I'll turn this rig around. It takes me a while. Anyway, so the moon was in Scorpio, and Scorpio, a full moon in Scorpio, means a lot of scrutiny going on in lives. It wasn't particularly in my life, but it was happening to me, so I was watching it happen to other people in my life and wondering, how did I deal with this? I mean, even my daughter-in-law came to see me, my ex-daughter-in-law, John Morgan's mother. I mean, my house is like a circus that day. And every messenger that came had a negative message.
You weren't the only one. That very same day, I mean, it was complete chaos at work. Mm-hmm. Every single person that walked through that door that I worked with had something negative going on. There were tears, there was screaming, there was write-ups, there was firing. It was... Hello. I haven't seen a day like that since I've worked there.
Okay, let's look at Scorpio in the heavens.
I left to work, I guess it was Friday night, and when I walked out and got on my bike, I started down the highway and that moon was shining. I thought, full moon. I guess the werewolves are out tonight. I got down on Scarborough and I said, and the Lord, it just seemed like he said, you need to put your emergency lights on. I went, all right.
Wow.
So I flipped them on, and I'm blinking, you know, going down a highway, and I got there to the, getting kind of close to about Big Lots area there, and here come the ambulances and the fire trucks and stuff.
Oh, I don't declare.
Trying to dodge traffic and get out of the way, you know. I thought, yep, here they go.
Well, you had all the signs. God warned you. That's beautiful. Beautiful.
And the moon was actually what they call a pink moon. I went over to Hannah's house, and she's got a telescope, and if you look and you look closer to it, it's got a pink ring around it. And the day before, well, 2 days before that, there was a meteor shower.
Oh, okay.
And there's supposed to be up to 20 meteors per hour. Well, up to 100 per hour, but 20 for sure. So there was a lot going
on.
2 days prior.
Oh, I just want to show this to us. This is a Scorpio. And I wrote this guy's name down because of Suzanne. It's Acephalus. And he was the doctor of medicine. He actually existed around Josephus' time. And I think Josephus wrote in 70 A.D., I believe it was written in. So I did that for you. But this doctor actually existed, and he is the only person in the heavens, Acephalus, the serpent holder, that was a human. That's amazing to me. God did that way back. Of course, they used the Greek god stuff to explain him, but this man actually existed. And we see what he's doing. Aren't you glad he was humanity, but he actually walked the earth? Aren't you glad Jesus Christ walked the earth, that he lived and breathed? He was just like us, a man of like passions. My goodness, how could we do it? And look at this thing. As you know, I did not instruct Wendy. She threw this scorpion big. I'm going, Wendy, spiritual things are beautiful. Anyway, here's a serpent. In this one, this month that we're in, no, not this month. I'm thinking we're in Sagittarius and we're not, we're in Taurus, the bull. If you want to know what that looks like, take your finger and turn it around and point to yourself. Or the dung heap, that too. And more. And you can rise above that. I'm not just putting you down, just letting you know where the bull exists. That it's not outside you, particularly. Anyway, in Sagittarius, we have another serpent that is cast down. And I love that. He's called Draco, which is an imaginary thing, dragon, a dragon cast down. But this is spiritual wickedness in high places. What high places? In your soul thinking. Mm-hmm. That's your high places. I've got to read this. It says, remember the Beatitudes. The demand for purification is real, of course. And revelation gets abused when people simply download celestial insights to suit their own untamed egos.
Amen.
Broke my heart. And know that people can have the anointing and not have any light. Not any real light. So do I want to hear it anymore? I don't. I'm not impressed with just anointing. They better be walking in something and living something too. Revelation gets abused when people simply download celestial insights for their own untamed ego. That's intellect. No wonder God never let the intellect lead. Because it knew it would stick its haughty head up and take the glory from where it needed to be. Okay, we have one more serpent. There are three serpents shown in the heavens. This one's called Hydra. He's a water serpent. And of course, serpents are native to water. They love water. No problem with them in water. They all can swim. And anyway, you know the story that I told you. I was beginning to study this 25 years ago. Somebody help me. Y'all all know me, maybe longer. And I was a little afraid because I was raised a Pentecostal and you didn't touch anything outside of the normal mind or scripture. But I just had such a hunger to touch something else beyond me. I mean, we have to move on, people, and our consciousness is ever being expanded. So anyway, I just said, show me, Lord. And I had just studied the and looked at the picture. The next morning was church morning, and I had to leave to go get someone. When I got to the turnpike, there was a raven eating a serpent on my highway right in front of me. I don't believe in happenstance. I don't believe God's an edge. I believe he plans every little thing for us to survive and grow if we'll look at it. We just have to look at it. Look at that. The explosion of love that you're born from, all of us are born from that. Although we existed before that, we're light beings, I'm telling you. We're all light beings or we wouldn't be here. We love the same things. Rachel, behave. The word shalom means to be safe in mind, body. Be friendly with yourself. We don't have to be such taskmasters on ourselves. We have to give ourselves some room sometime. Really pay attention and say, well, your mind needs to, you just need to play a minute. Stop. I mean, have a drink. You might need to get good and drunk. I don't know. It would help to loosen you up. I mean, anything. Something set you free. Just a quiet, a moment where you just feel like you could soar. That's when you learn the most, when you really know who you are inside and embrace that and love yourself. Morgan says, call 911, wah. And I like that. I like that.
1-800-WAH.
Is that what it is? 1-800. That's what I know, but I just feel like it's so important for us to have more and more a quiet time every day. If you could just take 5 minutes is good if that's all you got. I think mornings are wonderful. I like my, I don't want anything moving, going, running. I just want peace and peace and quiet. And it takes me on a journey. And it releases all that pent up stuff and gives me a new energy. And we're able to give that energy to each other. This room, this morning, was charged. I was going, okay, it's time to lift off. We're not staying here. I'm ready to go somewhere. It was awesome. Well, I do want to share this because after my bad morning, the next morning when I got up, I'd found a place inside myself that was just peaceful and awesome. So I, you know, bathed in that a while. So I remembered that Ezekiel was by a specific river. I thought, I wonder what the name of that river means. Because Ezekiel said he was by the river Chebar. So I looked it up. The river Chebar means unity and flowing in fellowship. Don't you love it? Don't you love it? Just flow. A river doesn't have to be dammed up. Turn the faucet on. Let it roll, man. Yeah. If not for you, for somebody else. I felt it so acutely when Johnny was sharing his river with his grandson. That's his river. And it'll float your boat, too. You can get on that one. I mean, you can go to the bank for those things. It's wonderful. We each got that river in us. All of us. Go ahead.
You said the three serpents in the heavens. You said one was Hydra. Where are the other two?
Draco is the air, serpent of the air.
And what's the other one?
Let me look at it again. Scorpio is in the earth. Do you want to know where the fiery serpents are? Around your feet.
That was one of Mom's words of wisdom a week or so back. If you listen, you hear better.
Oh, is that what you said to your mama? Uh-oh, Michael has become the teacher. But in the stars, there are only three. There's an earth serpent, a water serpent, an air serpent. That isn't a fire serpent in the heavens. Although the Draco is in the air, and he would be fire breathing if you believe in real dragons. Do you? What? You do? That's okay. We can have dragons if you choose. Okay. I looked up the word became because the scripture says Adam breathed that breath of life and became, which is a big long time thing, through much time. He became a living soul. Are a servant of vanity. He became a servant of self. So every realm, there's a danger of that. Withdrawing. Oh, I know everything now, so I don't need anybody. That's sick. So man collapsed himself into his own soul life. And he became a snaky snake. he liked the snake thing, remember? He let his wife out there, his divine feminine, which he was part of. He wasn't deceived, the scripture says. Adam was not deceived. It's like Johnny says about two-year-olds. He said, they're smart dudes. And parents are going, you know, asking them to do things. And you're going, do they want to? Why no? You have to teach that thing. So anyway, man collapsed himself into soul life and became his own serpent.
Last night, I had a table of two black women and one white woman. And the two black women had two little black girls. One little girl was probably about three, and the other little girl was about two. And I mean, I'm not racist or anything, but black women tend not to watch their children like white women do, and the black women let their children roam around the entire restaurant. I mean, these little girls were walking.
That's a dangerous thing.
The restaurant. Mm-hmm. Had them on the cell phones, you know, just...
Well, I declare.
Walking around the restaurant. And, I mean, at 2 years old, they know what they're doing. Since their moms are yelling their name, you know, being loud, and the girls are just roaming around, doing whatever they want.
Of course.
Of course. So at 2 years old, they know what they're doing.
I had a conversation with a young man this week, not John Morgan, nobody kin to me. And he had been in a lot of trouble at school, and I said, what is that about? He said, I've had 165 referrals. And I was blown away. We never had to go to school and get Rachel back in. I mean, she never did anything. Nor Morgan. Or Tressa or Wendy. We had to go to school and get them back to school. I'm going, what is happening with these kids? 165 referrals. He said, my daddy taught me I'd rather get forgiveness than ever ask permission. That's scary. And I told him so. I said, your daddy needs correcting. That's a shame. No wonder you've had 165 referrals. But I know people like that. I'll get forgiveness and do what I want to right now. Go ahead. The whipping's terrible. I don't want that kind of whipping. So let's get permission. And that's what I'm going to share today. So we can visit or talk or discuss this if you like. If you have something to share, I'd like to hear what you think or what you feel.
I got fired this week. But you know what? That's because that's not who I am. Who I am is developing. I won't let myself be who I am until I have to be.
And yes.
I'm more interested in being a beauty advisor and hands-on working with people and helping them feel better about themselves. So that's the direction I'm going in.
Yes.
I'm still working one day a week at the restaurant.
May you do well, Deb. I pray you do. Morgan got laid off this week.
It's not been a good week.
So you guys need to remember him. His job got moved to Canada. So he needs a job.
Jobs are scarce right now.
Yes.
I'm going through the same thing. I have to give Applebee's an ultimatum on Tuesday. And I mean, if they don't follow through with my ultimatum, then it's going to be signed or Applebee's. So.
Well, we do what we have to do, each of us. You know, God's faithful in our lives. It's, he's not out somewhere, knows where we are. So I'm thankful for the jobs that we have, each of us. It's wonderful.
Well, I guess I don't understand why they tell you they're going to do one thing and then they do another. They make you a head server.
Well, it's all about money.
And they make you a trainer.
That's what it's about. It's about money.
So. Well, why it makes no sense, because they would hire 12 new people and make them closers when they don't make the sales that I make, because I'm the one who has regulars who come and specifically see me and spend a ton of money.
I'm in agreement with you.
It doesn't make sense.
I'd rather have a waitress I can go to that I know.
Yeah.
But I'm not the boss.
Rather than have somebody who will make up your food and have it sent back 2 or 3 times.
I'm going to sit down, so if somebody has something they want to say, come on.
Well,